Okay.
Shuas Rav Huna. Shuas Rav Huna.
You have to understand it. Shuas Adayanim and Shuas Pikadon. Shuas Pikadon, I have to have a Tfilas Mamon. Some of the people are here. Some of the time. I don't know whether I'm here. Okay. If I come up to you, give me a Ram Hilchos Shvuos. If I come up to you and say, I saw you running around the block. I didn't run around the block. I take a shua, I didn't run around the block. It's not a shua sepikot. How does the Rambam define what shua sepikot is? Hatovea chaver b'mamon shemahodu bo yechayev l'shalein hapitovea mamon. That if I'm moda, I have to pay. Shvus apikot. Okay. Let's say as follows. I ask you for a chayfetz, and you say I'll give you the money. So, the so what is the machlokas between us? The differential between the chayfetz and the money. First thing we see, apparently, that's considered Tfilas Mamon. After all, I gave you a chevetz worth 1,000 shekel. See, I'll give you 1,000 shekel. So there's a differential there. Chevetz against Mamon. But in net value, there's no machlokas. So, the halach is apparently sure. He's nishba benekitas chevetz. Nishba benekitas chevetz means what? That it's a shuas adayonim, it's a shuas apikot. So first thing you see here is the differential between chayfetz and the monetary value of the chayfetz considered tfilas mamon, number one. Now, number two. The chora, it's an interesting shvua. What happens? The person says, I refuse to swear. Okay. So what do you do? Let's say Motor B'Mikzas. I ask you for 2,000 shekel, and you answer me 1,000 shekel. And you say you refuse to swear. So Bez Mechayev, you to pay 2,000 shekel. Very simple. You don't pay, they foreclose on your property. Excellent. But here, he says, I don't have the chayfetz. I'll pay. So, what does Bezin have to do? Bezin said, no, you have to swear. He said, I'm not interested in swearing. Go do something. So, what's the answer? The answer is, so how does, what does Bezin do? So, I showed you that the Chora, same thing, the person doesn't swear Hesus. You know, you're within a Chosef, but you put him in Shamta, whatever. That's okay. So it's a different type of shvua. Problem is, so. Okay. And if you take a look at most Rishonim, it's clearly a shvua d'rabbanan. The problem being a very simple problem. That if it's nekitas chayfetz, it means a shvua sadayanim. and a Shavuos HaDayanim can only be created either min HaTorah or min HaTanoim, not min HaMoroim. Where does this thing at all? So Rav Huna, just like Rav Nachman created a Shavuos Hesus, so he can't create a Shavuos HaDayanim. Well, how can Rav Huna create a Shavuos HaDayanim? Big problem. We have to deal with this. The enforceability is the first problem. Okay. Now, here, the Rambam comes up. Rambam comes up with a number of interesting things.
Ready?
Yes.
Isn't it clear that it's not his chiddush because we
asked
on
it
from a
brisa? Ask on a brisa. So, apparently, he's saying something that exists already in the times of Tanoim. The question is, where does it say it in Tanoim? In a Chanami. No, that, so you have to find some mocha somewhere, somehow, to where it says so in memory of Tanoim. This is number one. Number two, I said. Possibility is not that hard. Okay. We have tools that more in Shavuos than Memao from Rao. What creates a massive headache? Just give me a Rambam. A Rambam says it's a Shavuos de Rabbanim. But Majbino, so Betekonis Chachomim. There's a stira. The Rambam writes in Shavuos, Perish Rishnaya, it's a Shavuot D'Raisa. What's for a Shavuot D'Raisa? Big problem. We shall see. Now, the Gemara asks for Mashkin. So, the Rambam in Mashkin says it's a Shavuot D'Raisa, Shavuos HaShomrim. That is the simple way of taking it. And that is one group of people took it that way. Perek Yud Gimel. Hamal V'lova. Halacha Dalet. Okay. He says, in the case of Mashkin, Shavuos HaShomrim, Shavuos HaShomrim, Shavuos HaShomrim. So Reb Chaim brings. Yeah. The Urim V'Tumim says it's a derisa. Reb Chaim takes for granted the Urim V'Tumim. Chaim was not oblivious to the fact that if you take a look carefully in the Magid Mishnah here, he says it's only a drabbana. And the Gra goes through the Magid Mishnah, it's only a drabbana. Chaim takes for granted what the Urim V'Tumim says, it's a deraisa. Then the question is, if Shavuos Rav Huna is drabbana and Malva Mashkin is deraisa, so what in the world is the Gemara's kasha about? That doesn't fit. So, which is of course what forced the Magid Mishnah and the Gra to say Ram holds it's a drabona. Okay. Nidach Gisa, he says Shavuos HaShomrim, and he himself says even Shavuos Rav Huna is a derisa. That's the second thing that pushed Rav Chaim to take the Urim V'Tumim quite seriously. And see, is it possible to say D'Raisa? Based on what Rav Chaim says, Rav Chaim has a number, he goes in all sorts of directions. If we take some of his, and some of the things he says, L'chora seems to contradict Mishkel Rishon. What he says in Chiddush HaRechaim HaLevi. Let's just remember. And the Rambam says, what are you makne him? You makne him a par l'kvelev. Against those that makne him l'guf ha-parah. The Shach is of the opinion that you makne to him. The Rambam agrees with those you makne the guf ha-parah. Okay. Chaim took for granted there, the Rambam kipshuto, and that you makne to him the in Hilchos Mechira, they marked for him Parla Kvela. Here he doesn't seem to say that. See, Reb Chaim is general Mahalach. That's why he doesn't go with the Magen Mishnah Gra. You take, as long as you can take the Rambam where he's saying Kipshuto, you take Kipshuto. And the only time you take it out of Kipshuto when you can't justify Kipshuto. That's why he wants to begin, can I justify that this is a deraisa? Okay, let's just see what he says. Raman posak, danu davke, b'dvaram sheinam mitzurim liknos. The Raman is machadish this. It's obvious that it's a very reasonable thing to say. If I gave you a box of regular Kellogg's cornflakes, and you say, listen, something happened to it, I'll pay you for it. It's, person normally is Shema ain't of Nosambo or a box of Kellogg's cornflakes. It's hard to imagine Chachzal would have made a takon. It's something that totally available, just go to the store and buy it. Yeah, you saved me. I'm going to lie and do an avera d'oraisa by saving myself going to the makolah. It's a little far-fetched. Okay. Ben Malvel Amashkin, he says, it could be Malvel Amashkin talking about in such a case. So the Ritva, the Meyuchas Ritva asks, and the other Rambam doesn't make such a chilek. And then he asks the Rambam to him. And he says, Havada Dishushay Bishusava Derais. Now there is a very strange Rambam. Rambam Perak Dalit Hilchos Shvuot Pikudim says like this. Hamavkir etzel chavero v'chinam v'nigna v'ho'avar haris ha'nishba v'nifta sh'nei mavgurim v'eshis. V'magagno al betoch ha'shua shlo poshaba no p'shir el ha'sham ha'kderach ha'sham lo shilach b'yad. So the Rambam here says that she'ena b'shus is the ikir shvua. Separate shvua according to Rambam is the ikir shlo p'shaiti v'shilach shvua, but shvua she'ena b'shus is a din d'orais. That's clear. Then here, in Parag Vav, says a very shocking thing. Shamachinim shomah hareini mishalim. Any nishba. Okay. Nimtza, turns out, kol shomer shenishba shvos hashomim, kol b'shvos or shlosh advarim. Shomah kederach hashomer shir kach v'kach, ena b'shus or shlosh ach b'yad. He already said it. Big deal. He told you already. You have to say nimsa. Very strange. Okay, so Reb Chaim here says, Loma, the Havada, the Shur Shai Bashus, ever the rising of Vuva Bokam, Shal Shush Majbinos. And it was Shus. Chaim Pasuk and Rambam. The Iker Shua Deraisa. And it was Shus. Ho and Dots and Dome. Okay. Pasuk and Rambam. Shu who rak me tekanas chachomen. Chaim, who das rov harishonim lachalik bezeh. Who? So, I wrote down at the bottom here. I and Shach. Well, the Shach takes it for granted that it's different alcohol. Reb Chaim is different than the Shach. Rav Chaim apparently was aware of some Rishonim who say Shuas Rav Huna is a Shua Doraisa. And he's beginning. And that's how it gets started. The Malva Lamashka, Malva Lova Machishin says that Beshiva Chafetz. Amot Mechavar Olavarai. Kozu Raksha Chafetz Ne'avad was Muchsak Ne'amon. Chafetz Be'en, Bailam Olam Ne'amonim Al Hashivay. The Chafetz is around, the Bailam have Ne'amonis. And he goes through the entire thing there. All is rise. Habalim Nemonim al Mekcho. Okay. Ufiza, he says. Okay. All of his rise, basically the Mordechai, said. Now, Shome the Mechuyiv Lishova, Shena Bershusa. Now he comes up with a massive Chiddush. And this Chiddush is the linchpin around which everything revolves. Kozman shalom nishba harachefetz b'chaskoso shuhu eitzel ha-shomer. And this is something he's going to use in 20 different directions. So halacha goes like this. Let's say a woman's husband goes l'mdina sayam. And we don't know what happened to him. Disappeared. So has a cheskes chai. He left here, he was alive. 50 years later, we assume he's still alive. Chazok ameikar. Something exists till we know. Ugh. Till we know something exists. Bishus Hashomer. We assume it continues to exist. Bishus Hashomer. Till the fact is established otherwise. And that is something that's going to go straight through Reb Chaim, the only way I understand how he's going to get out of any problems. Number one. Okay. So, now he's going back to the sugya in Malva Lamashk. But he's beginning with one assumption. Chazok Amei Kara, if it exists, it's in the Shomer's possession. So if it's in the Shomer's possession, that he just established, the Bailim have Nemonis to say how much it's worth. And when the Malva and the Lova have a Machlokas, how much it's worth? Wait a second. What happens as follows. Let's give a number of different cases. There's a halva of 1,000 shekel. And there's a mashkin against that halva. So, and the lova says, and the malva says, it's lost. Because he's the shomer. Now, the lova is this, lova is as follows. Lova says, and there's the question is, was the debt paid or the debt wasn't paid? Why? Because if it's lost, so then, let's say it's as follows. I take a simple case. The mashin, the halva is 1,000, and it becomes worth 1,000. So the moment the malva says it's lost, so the lova says, okay. So therefore, I've paid you up for the mashin. So the malva says, memela. I'm using your halva to pay up what the mashkin is worth. It's all paid already. And the lova tainis, no. Maybe it still exists and it hasn't been paid. Or he says something else. It's the Lova's property. Lova says, no, wait a second. The Mal says it's worth 1,000. And therefore the debt's paid. The Lova says, wait a second, my Mashkin is worth 2,000 and you haven't paid me. So who's Neman? Say in such a case. Comes Reb Chaim based on what he said before and says, the Lova is Neman. It hasn't been paid. If we're talking about, the Mishnah has all the different scenarios that work the same, that they tiny. Okay. Calls my Shalom, now then Reb Chaim gets it. Calls man shalom nishba she'ena b'shuso. He says, calls man. There's no shua. So the shmira is still, we assume the chavetz exists in the shus of the shomer. And we assume that the shmira is still existing. Halova neman ashivuyo. You can't have a odlo no samos. Hare dino kamodlo no samos. The mechuv lishova doraisa. It's just like this. But let's forget exactly what Reb Chaim says inside. And stop and think what Reb Chaim is saying. He says like this. Reb Hun is saying two separate things according to the Rambam. A, he says, we assume the chavetz exists and the shmir is still intact until the shomer takes a shvuah and says the shmirah is not intact. And then once we say the shmirah is not intact, the question is, in the case of Malva Amashkin, he paid for it, he didn't pay for it, he partly paid for what it was. But we're assuming that the chavetz exists and the shmirah is intact until the malva takes a shua, the shomer takes a shua, it is not intact. Wait 1 second. If so, question is, what is the Takonas Chachomim here on in Rav Huna? Rambam writes, Ava, what is it called? No, Shana Mozukta, Shemim Nozum, Umashmin also, Bit Takonas Chachomim. What's the Takanas Chachomim? The Shvuah is the Takanas Chachomim? Or the fact that we make him take a Shvuah first before the payment? Now, why? Very, very simple. If you take a look in the Shach, the Shach says like this. And so, Reish Sarehe, Reish. Kotev Arosh. Avi Sheshile, even though he paid already, Zorach Lishov Hashem B'Shusa. V'amirin Shemocha Lo Hashvuv Meshekiba HaTashlom. Now, the fact that I took money doesn't mean a mochel your chiyav shua. Which chiyav shua are we talking about? The shua derives of shua sashama or the shua sarafuna? So, mistabit fe the meme shekibu hatashlum shua, because he took it just the guy shouldn't change his mind. And he says, no. He pays for it still. V'chein kotzav v'sev v'mad ne'melech. V'chein yik. And the Rambam doesn't disagree with this, he says. He says, so why did the Rambam write that first you take the shvuah and then he pays? Not that there's a difference if he pays first or not. No. The Shema Yidei Hashvua Yifrosh Yitein Guf HaChefetz, because they first make him swear, then he'll say, no, I don't want to swear, I'll pay. Here's the Chefetz back. But there's nothing intrinsic. Reb Chaim is saying something very, very different. Kol zman, I don't swear, I assume the chayva still exists. I assume my shmir still exists. The moment I pay up, wait 1 second, shmir is finished. Therefore, so does the Tekanas Chachomim as follows. Swear first. We don't let you pay. So then it's a shomer. And what we tell the shomer, listen, part of your chiyuve shmira are what? Part of your chiyuve shmira are to swear. Because the shmira still extends. You want to pay? But then you're a shomer who's not giving the chavetz back. A shomer who's not giving the chavetz back, me don't rise, has to swear, it's ain't a bishusi. A payment, we'll talk about that later. So, there's a very good, but this is based on a very, very simple idea. What Reb Chaim says, we assume the chavetz still exists, so we know, and the shmir is still intact, until we know it's no longer intact. No. Yes.
What changes after
very simple. A shomer is nema with his shua to say any b'shusi. Therefore, he's nema to say the shmir is no longer intact. And then we get down and do I pay or I don't pay. But the bailim, you see, the lakach ba'ala v'hosh, that means what is happening here? We come into Besdin. So the lova says maybe the thing exists, maybe the thing doesn't exist. If the thing exists or doesn't exist, we don't know. So, but we assume it does exist. So the lova says, give me back my chayfetz. You don't want to give me chayfetz? You have to swear any b'shusi. Because Besdin is going on an assumption the shmir still exists. The fact that he says it doesn't means the chazak meikara, it exists until we know it doesn't exist. Everything exists until we know it. The Gemara Chulin, what does the Gemara Chulin say? How do we know you go back to chazak? The Kohen goes into the house and says, and sees a nega. And he turns around, walks out of the house, outside the house, he says, Tomei, wait a second. Maybe the moment he turned around, the nega disappeared. The Gemara says, so what do you see from here? Says the Gemara, there's something that exists, we assume it continues to exist, so we know it no longer exists. It's Gemara 4. Reb Chaim says the same thing. Says, wait, once, let me finish Rabbi Raphael. Okay. So the shmir was there. So when a shomer shows up and to the mafke and says it's not here, he said halach me derais. Yes, this way any b'shusi. Said in the rice, he says the shmir is gone already. I'm not a shomer anymore, and that's why I'm paying. But we assume it until the mafke accept something from him, a shvua, or a payment, it still exists. That is how Reb Chaim is, that's an idea Reb Chaim works with, and we'll see, it's essential to it. I'm going to say the Reb Chaim in a different format than Reb Chaim. After reading the Reb Chaim, I'll tell you the way I understand the whole thing. What? Speak a little louder. He's older than you. He's first. Okay?
If the motivation is the assumption that the chayfetz is still vishmi,
yeah.
Why should it matter if it's a unique item or not a unique item?
If what?
Why should it matter if the item is a unique item or it's not a unique item?
It depends what Takanos Chachomim is. Takanos Chachomim is we make him swear before he pays, so we don't care how he does it. Then if the what is the takana of Rav Huna? If the takana of Rav Huna is to force a shvua d'oraisa, how is he going to force a shvua d'oraisa? They had to force a shuas right by saying no payment yet. Swear first. The owner, the mafkid, has agreed, I will take his shuah. The moment the mafkid takes the shuah, so then he's accepted the fact, and it's been proven the chayfetz no longer exists, and the shmir is gone. So what has to happen to cancel out the shmira or shvua? When did they make such a takana? Only in unusual items, not regular items. Oh. In regular items, let him pay, let him swear, let him do whatever he wants first. See, well, the question is that what did Rav Huna create the shvua and that didn't exist, or he just made sure to force the guy into a shvua deraisa? When the Rambam says, B'takonos Chachomim, what does he mean, B'takonos Chachomim? That he swears first, or that there's such a Shua B'cha?
Or maybe that he's just a Shomer, right?
Well, yeah. One of the above. But, you see, once Reb Chaim is talking, begins with his assumption the Chavit still exists and the Shmir still exists, and what are we doing? We create, and on that assumption, the shua is a shua deraisa. Says, wait 1 second. I don't have such a headache from the parish mishnayos in shuas to this, because I don't have to worry. How in the world could Rav Huna create a shua sadayonim? The Torah created a shua sadayonim, right? It cuts through everything. And we'll see why, as we'll go through the Gemara inside, Marvel Amashkin inside, we'll see exactly why this assumption underlies. If we say, in the case of Marvel Amashkin, it's the Raisa, not like the Magen Mishnah, but like the Urim V'Tumim. So then, you'll see how that underlies everything. Now, Rabbi, free. Very simple. The moment I give you a pikadon, you have to prove something to me. I've agreed to accept your shvua as a statement of fact. So until you swear any b'shusi, so, and I mochel on the Shmira, Yuchiyuvi Shmira, of swearing, so Chayfetz, I assume it's still around. But I gave you Nemonis that I will accept your statement if the Chayfetz is around or not. Ayideshu. And so therefore, until you swear, we go with the Chazaka. The moment you swear, I've accepted the fact, the mafkin has accepted the fact, the shmir no longer exists, and we're just getting into a question of payment. Okay? Here's some. Now, yes, Rabbi.
Even if it's an item which is mozzo, why, how is it there when against the Chazaka made
Korah? God's fault. That was Rabbi Raphael's question. The answer is very, very simple. Rav Huna is coming with a brand new halacha. And Rav Huna's brand new halacha, he's coming out, where's he coming from? He's creating a shvuah. He can't create a shvuah. And for reason number one, you know what, Rav Huna is not empowered to create a shvuah. Number two, if it is a shvuah, if he would be creating a shvuah, then there's a historical problem. How are you asking a kasha from a braisa, which is before Rav Huna was born? Okay? And Rav Chaim gets into another issue. And if the shua in Malval Amashkin is the raisa, so the Gemara must be assuming that Rav Huna is the raisa. Right? So how's this whole thing get started? Answer is very straightforward. Who said Rav Huna Bechal created a shvur? Rav Huna just, all he did was create a situation through his takana, create a situation that Bal Korcha there is going to end up at shvur d'oraisa by saying no. Beis Din saying no payment until you swear. It could be. It could be. And if this is what's happening, so the Rambam is straight against the Rosh. And what we've said is against what the Shach says. Okay. Yes. What's a regular case?
We know the Shemer still has to be
built. Yeah.
He says, I'm going to pay for it.
So Beis Din will invade his house and pick up the curtain and take it away from him.
So why is this any different?
What?
If there's a chazaka made sure that the curtain is setting face.
So, okay, so the difference is as follows. Will Beis Din invade his house and do a full search in his house or not? If they know it, it's in his house in his attic somewhere. Okay. So they knock on the door and say, you're a ganav. We take the chavetz away. They don't know. There's a chazaka. Now that it does exist, we assume it exists somewhere. We don't know. It exists. The shmir is still intact. The moment the shmir is still intact, we have no idea. We do not invade his house and do a full bottom to top search. But that's the assumption we work until because he is the mafkid has agreed to accept Al Yidei Shvua, the Shomer's statement that the Chavetz no longer exists. That's part of Shmira. No. He says, I want to pay. Comes the law. So let him pay and cancel out the Shmira. He pays, he cancels out the Shmira. Yeah. What did I agree to? Swear or pay. All right? So fine. Here's the money. Comes out of Huna, says, fine. The moment you do that, you're in trouble. Because maybe Shem animus. I'm going to create a situation where I'm not going to let that happen. The Shmir, I'm going to create a situation where I'm forcing him to swear. So no money's transferred until there's a shul. Oh. No money's canceled until there's a shul. So what happens? So the Shmir is intact. It's a regular Shmir, 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 Shmir. He just created that situation, and obviously it's with Kitas Chayfis. Yes, Rav, speak a little louder, Rabbi Gavurd. I'm just exhausted. My mind's somewhere under the. I don't know where it is, but okay.
Rav Chaim's only talking about our case where they're arguing about how much it's worth.
He's talking about Ma'avol Amashkin. I'm saying as follows. I'm suggesting an approach based on what Reb Chaim said. And I'll show you what forces me to take that. What forces you to say that in a moment. I'm saying, is this exactly what Reb Chaim said? Could be, could not be. I'm not sure.
So why is he limiting it
then? My dear man, you learn Shua Sadayonim ever? There's a halacha called Tonu Chitim V'Hoglo V'Sorim. I say X and you're asking me about Y. I said, I don't know what he's saying. I don't know what he's saying. Okay? It could be he's agreeing with me, or maybe I'm suggesting my own shot based on some of the Yisodos he built. He has Yisod Echon. That Kolzman Ashua has not happened. Kolzman Ashua has not happened. There's Ashua Dereis. We assume the Chavetz exists. There's Ashua Sashom. Okay. Now, you can magalgel whatever you want. Okay, very good. It goes like this. The Shua Savona allow a Gilgal or Shua Savona does not allow a Gilgal? Obviously, Shua Savona does allow a Gilgal. We talk. We're going to get them a Galgal. He can ask him, tell me, 5 years ago, you broke the cup when you were sitting in my house eating coffee. He can throw that on him too. And that, he can throw whatever he wants on him. Shlo Pashaiti is not relevant because that's just history. He's willing to pay anyway. Shlo Shalachti Bogad is not relevant. Why not? Because he's willing to pay anyway. So all of these aren't relevant. You can only megalgal something that is relevant. What's relevant? Something that I'm asking you for money that you say you don't want to give me the money. So I'm asking, Tfilas Mamon. But if I'm willing to pay, whether there's shlichas yad or not, whether it's pshir is not, is totally irrelevant. You're paying anyway. So the only thing we have, the only relevant of the three shuas hashamrims are what? Shani b'shusi. I'm asking for chayfetz. I don't want money. That's the only relevant of the three shuas, the moment he's willing to pay. That's the only relevant one. This is even if it goes like this. He can, if he says, I'll pay, if he says, I was a posheya. So he asked, but maybe he wasn't a posheya. Okay. I don't know. I'm a shomasach. And I say, listen, if I admit I was a posheya and I have to pay, what do I say? Or I admit it was stolen. I have to pay. So I have to pay. So I'm willing to pay. Here's the money. So why do I have to take a shul? The answer is why? Why? Because Shemayn of no symbol. Okay. And what am I tying to you? I want the object. I don't want money. Maybe you're telling me the truth. Maybe you're not telling me the truth. I want the object, I don't want money. What's my tiny to you? I'm willing to take the money, so nothing. No, maybe ain't of no simple. Okay? Maybe ain't of no simple. If that's the tiny Shem ain't of no simple. So I have a tiny to you. And you're answering me, no. Ain't of a shoes. I said, fine, call tomorrow, you're a shomer. I can ask you for three things. And one of the things I can ask you is swear that it ain't a bishusi. That's what I'm asking. You have to pay. You're willing to pay. Fine. But I'm asking you for something else. I'm asking you for something else. I want my object. And you say, well, I'll pay. Because I have to pay anyway. Okay. Pay, you have to pay anyway. Big deal. But I want my object. Calls man, we assume the chavetz exists, so you're still a shomer. One of your chiyuve shomer is to tell me the chavetz doesn't exist by you anymore. The shmir is gone.
Ready?
Yes.
This idea that we're saying that the shmir is still around until I make the shua, is that because I still have chiyuve as a shomer to pay?
Because I assume something else. Reb Chaim just says, calls my, he says like this. He throws out an idea, and I'll show you where that's almost mukher from the Gemara. Shom echuli shov Hashem b'shuchim can call to my shalom nishba. He hasn't sweared. Hachivitz b'chaskotzo shu etzel Hashem. We assume whatever existed, whatever situation once was, continues to be.
He said
Imkain.
Is that
coming? Imkain Neman. Okay. Then he's going on to the machlok of how much it's worth. Okay, that's a separate issue we'll get into. But he's making, there is a basic assumption he's working with, which he says is the underlying assumption in the sukkah. If that assumption is correct, there are many ramifications to that assumption. That's all I'm saying. I'm not reading the words. I'm saying, if you go with that assumption, that we assume, Kolzman, he hasn't sworn yet. The chavetz exists and intact, and the shmir is intact, and therefore, there's a shua deraisa. Why he has to say this? We'll get to it. Let's take step by step. Everyone's going over here. That's just it. There is an underlying assumption. That underlying assumption that he's making has many ramifications in many ways, and we'll see how he's using that when he goes to Malva Lamashka. But he's making one basic assumption. Until there's a shua, Until there's a shvua, there is shmir. We assume the chayvetz exists. The shmir is intact, and all chayvei shmir are exact. And I can ask you for a shvua sashana. He's saying this in the case of Malva Mashka. I'm saying, oh, let's take this even to the case of Rav Huna, which he's going to do later. Okay. So that's all I'm saying. Take this assumption. This is his working assumption. And he needs that to set everything up. I said, wait one second. If so, I have a whole different mahalach. I'm not saying, I may have agreed, I may not have agreed. But I have a whole different mahalach understanding this Rambam. So that means it is in the Shomer's best interest, and in Bezin's best interest, representing the Shomer. It's in the Mavkit's best interest not to take a penny at this point, right? Because then I can demand a shua shana b'shusni derais. Don't have your mind to it, to words. Just think of an idea and think of a situation. Make believe this didn't exist, and make believe that we found a statement somewhere that the chayvut still exists until we know it doesn't exist. Okay. It happened to me, I lifted it out of here. But that, the.
Why in one place I wasn't a tall, it's rare and not
a I said, forget what he says. Let's just begin with an idea he throws out and see how far we can go with it. You know, some people's mind are limited to words, some people think in terms of ideas also. Let's use an idea. Okay? Okay? That's all I'm saying. And see where this idea takes me. And know what he did with this idea. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Okay, now, I have a number of things that I'm working with that he doesn't mention. Maybe he was working with and he didn't work. I said, because then all of a sudden, we understand that potentially, Shua Sravona is a Shua Deraisa. And if I assume Malva and Mashkin is Shua Deraisa, I understand why the Gemara is asking one against the other. Okay. He says Drabon. Maybe Drabon is just a way of creating the Shua Deraisa. That's my suggestion. Forget whether he said. Forget. That's my suggestion. I take one thing, three lines he said, and I said, he's an idea here. Let's work with this idea and see where this idea takes me. That's all I said. Now, if this is true, then basically, let's see how we'll work it through inside. He says, "Ufni says, Miyushiv Kusha or Vatum Shik Shud Gabi Shin Posak Haram Mishur Yen Bishur Rakmed Rabban Amav Nich Gabi Shilem Shishilem Kol Shivuy of Shalach Heifetz. If I paid everything, it's a Shur de Rabban." Ah, so he says, "What?" Then he's going. He says, "Listen, what would happen if Bezdin didn't pay attention to this Takana Rav Huna and he paid up? What would happen in such a case? Then it's clearly not a derais anymore. If I, the moment the mafkid took payment, the shmir is gone. And if there is a shua in that situation, it'll only be a shua to Rabban." He's suggesting sometimes shua Rav Huna is a derais, and sometimes shua Rav Huna is a Rabban. When is it a derais if he didn't pay? When is it a drabonin if he did pay? Okay? In the back of his mind, without telling you, that's what I wrote in a footnote, he's thinking about the Shach. Shach says the Rambam will agree with the Rosh. He says, according to the Rosh, it's clearly drabonin. Okay? And if the Rambam agrees with the Rosh, in the case of Shilem, it's certainly drabonin. Case of Lo Shilang, it's certainly a derais. That's what he's saying. Now, so that means when the Rambam says, "Tanus Chacham," we tell him swear first. So what are you doing? He said, "Wait a second." So the Tanus Chacham is that we want to create a Shua Deraisa. How do we do that? By saying, wait a second, no money. For any money passes hands, swear. Well, then it becomes a shur d'oraisa. But if somehow he took the money already, then at most it's going to be shur d'rabbanan. That's all he says here. Okay?
Rebbe?
Yes.
Why is it so important after he pays his shur d'rabbanan?
Because what is his chiyuv? Swear or pay. So he, once I paid, I can't, well, I can't. So I took the money.
But not the payment is bad.
What?
Not the payment is bad.
But my chiyuv is swear or pay. Or give it back or swear or pay. Now, the moment, what he's working on the assumption is, we'll see. Let's assume, that's a very good question, let's see how it works through the Gemara in Malva Lamashka. Okay, in Malva Lamashka. It could be that can't, because when he said here at the top, he says, in lo nosan amos, he's mechuyu lishova d'oraisa. Okay. Now. Okay. Now.
Ready?
Yes.
Why are we
so? I can't. Let me just, I'm trying to move ahead, and I've repeated myself at least 500 times. Okay? I can't. You want me to repeat myself 501 times? I don't mind. But I have to move ahead. I have to get some. Okay? I can't. And I think it's a very, very simple thing. So then he goes on, and Kosher if he said, my mark shake more of one, I have to mow my mark, I regard my mark, I have to shove the rice. Because you can't believe how to do it. Masha, because now the chayim li shovim at the rice, or have a mishum shua shomrim she'enu b'shuso. Chori ye shlomo fi amavu le, or the nazik omu le kshiton of tirat, the shomen harei ponos, the knos loch mayav, shem ol som kmei vos, harei nimtza de b'omu harei ne mashalim, he says, harei nimtza lo havi shom haklau, b'shas k'neiv, ele mikodum, kvaloch. Okay, so I put down at the bottom, this is not exactly what he says, in Chiddush of Chaim HaLevi, right? Why? Because Tosa says he's marked in the whole parah, right? That's what Tosa says. The Shach says the Rambam agrees with Tosa. So, and Reb Chaim said, not clear that he agrees with Tosa. Okay. Maybe it's just marked in parah l'kveda, right? So what does he say here? Let's just read what he says. I ain't told us. Okay. Hey, lefi dvorav lo havi shom haklal in a chay li shom haklal. Okay. Nims nein a chay of koch haklal li shom. Calls no im neima, hach to barosik in lo chavi, gam kodom shenish b'shen o b'shuso. Vima shechidish rav hona, mashmi oso shua shen o b'shuso. He says, im keno nims a di emes makna lo chavit, lach shenish b'shen o b'shuso. He said, don't bother me with a question. He says, it could be he changed his mind, it could be he didn't change his mind. He says, according to Rav Huna, we don't let him swear. We don't let him do anything until he swears first. Right now, the moment he swears, he swears Rav Huna. So what is Reb Chaim saying next step? He says, Hareini Mishale, if you're going to go like the Shach, if you'll go like the Shach, maybe I will go like the Shach, maybe I won't go like the Shach. But if I go like the Shach, so then he's not marked on the Kfeila when he says Hareini Mishale. He's marked on the Kfeila at the Shash Shua. That's what he says. Because if, according to him, he's just saying, he's taking care of side issue. Because if he's marked in the kefil, the moment he says, Hareini Mishale, and the Rambam would agree with Tosas, it turns out the Shmir spoke a long time ago. So within the Shach's reasoning, you have to say something very simple. That comes along with Huna, says, no. Hareini Mishalim is not enough. Shua And at that point, he's makna. That's exactly what he said. Okay. And the fima, because man, im name of the akrotik, no loch have a gam kodem shenish beshash. The fima, shechidish revhune. So shuay and beshusim gain, or the nimsa, the aim is makna or chayfet, lach shenish beshash and beshusim. A nimsa calls man shalom nishba, shayna beshusa, have a shomer adai, mel chayfet shoven a Torah. Vizel the poracha gmar revhune. Okay, what is he saying? Saying very simple. The Gemara asking a very simple question. The Gemara, at the point of asking the question from Mashkin, is assuming that it's a Shua Deraisa. That's the only way the Gemara can ask the Kasha from Shua Deraisa to Rav Huna. That's clear the Gemara is asking that question. And according to the Shach, what is the Gemara? Once Rav Huna came along and made it Takana Drabonim, Hareini Meshalim is only Makna L'Kefil if we'll let him pay. But if Bez will stop in his way and not let him pay, Hareini Meshalim is not enough. When will Bez then allow him to pay? Only after Shvua. So this is what Chaim says. He's, if you'll go with the Shach, okay. But if you don't go with a shach, the whole thing, the whole problem doesn't begin. It stays as a shuah deraisa. So what has he achieved with us? Very simple. Okay. But now, so that's all he's saying. At that point, the Gemara clearly deraisa. And he's just trying to get out of a problem, a very simple problem, that if he says hareini meshalim, then, oops, the shmir is paka. The Shmir is Paka. So there's no Shmir Sashomer anymore. No Shua device. Right? So he says, no. If you say this, then, and you work with the Shach. So then, very, very simple. If. So when is Hareini Meshalim Makna the Kefil? Only in such a situation that Bezin will let him pay. The Ben says, we're not taking your money yet. Hareini Meshalim doesn't do anything. That's the next step it takes. Okay. The Hecher Achlok HaMetach Chayev Lishov at the Reis. You know, Meyusha Kushis HaRitva. Chayev at the Motzu. Okay. Okay. Now, this is, I've outlined it. Now, tomorrow on Sunday, I just want to read through inside with you the whole Gemara's kashas there of Mashkin, see how we read it through into the Gemara, and what the Gemara is telling us about the whole thing. He's going in a very clear way. A very clear way. That case Malvam and Mashkin, it is a Doraisa. With the Urim V'Tumim, because if you take a look at the Rambam, and it's the standard of Chaim. Chaim always said, let's look what it says, and see if the way it says it can justify it. So we'll take it the way it says it. The way it says it is Shua Sashom. The way it says it is a Daraisa. The Magen Mishneh, because of all of these questions everybody's asking, said, pushed himself to say, it must be a Drabbanan. Says, do I have to be pushed with the Magen Mishneh to push the Rambam? Well, I don't have to be pushed. That's all he's saying. Then he says, I don't have to be pushed there. So let's take it the way it says. Beseder Rabbos.